Yeah, I'll just introduce some of my co-authors. Ingrid, which are here, and then we have a number of others, Finn Winter, Mette, Maiken Dijkman, Søren Kolin, and Olsen, and Kronvang, and Mosun, and they are all Danes, and they are coming from Department of Bioscience, and the SIGES and Orbicon, which is a private company. And the title is Controlled Drainage as Measure to Reduce Nitrate Leaching in Winter Wheat Production System in Denmark. First of all, a little bit to the people who don't know where Denmark is. It's in northern Scandinavia, or in Scandinavia, in the south part of Scandinavia, sorry, northern part of Europe. We are surrounded by water, and we have a big challenge because our farming systems are very high input. We have low transport time between the fields out to the sea, and as we have a lot of inner fjords, etc., we have a problem with eutrophication, so that makes it problematic. The country as total is farmed with more than 60% of the total area, so it's quite intensive. It's lowland farming. We have intensive farming, and we have a mineral fertilizer which is regulated in Denmark. It's maybe the toughest regulation in Europe at all. So we have we are only using 80 kilos, and organic fertilizer we're using 90 kilos. We have a production of more than 20 million pigs a year, and a big dairy production. Our yields are very relatively high, more than 7 tons as average. We are in an area where we have a mean temperature of 9 degrees. Monthly it goes from 0 in the winter to up to 15, 17 degrees as mean, daily means. In the summertime, a rainfall of about 900 millimeters and an annual water surplus of 400 millimeters, which gives enough of water that can transport the leaching, the nitrate from the fields. And the annual end leaching from the root zone is approximately 60 kilos. So there is a lot to do here to minimize the impact on the environment. As we have the Water Framework Directive aiming to produce or put limits on the leaching, and but by setting up standards for good water quality, we are working on achieving these goals. The objective of the project is that we want to make field studies. We have conducted them from 12 to 15 on controlled drainage combined with winter wheat production systems. And winter wheat is different from the research that has been going on and is looking in the literature, because there it's normally spring crops that is not affected by the high water content in the winter. We have conducted the project also to have a necessary documentation so that controlled drainage can be recognized as a measure to reduce nitrogen leaching from fields. A little bit about controlled drainage, most of you probably know it, but what we are doing is that we are managing the upper groundwater level here, and we are doing it here by putting in a blockage in the drain system so that the water will be higher during autumn and winter. And we then assume when we are changing the water content here, we are also changing the environment for denitrification, etc. And that means that we will hopefully increase the ammonium in the soil, we will increase the deep percolation, we will hopefully also increase the denitrification, which means that the surplus of nitrate in the autumn will be denitrified instead of running out in our streams. Unfortunately, this change in environment in the soil can also increase the nitrous oxide emissions, and that is a bad thing. But overall, we are working on reducing both the NNP outflow here through drains. In Denmark, often our redox boundary is in 1 to 2 to 3 meters, at least in these moraine soils. So when we have the deep percolation, some water can flow laterally to the stream above the redox boundary, but some of it also goes down through the deeper layers, which means that the nitrate will be denitrified. We are also looking on the effects on the yield and crop growth here. So, but in the project overall, we are primarily measuring up here. We are not doing things here. That will be in future. We have selected 4 sites where we have conducted the project. Up here, it's sandy soils up here. Down here, it's also sandy, loamy sandy soils. But where I'm going to present data is from here, where we have sandy loamy soils, and these are all tile drained. We have been looking for finding a field where we could do our measurements. We found a field here where we could split up the field in 4 blocks. We installed measurements wells and regulation wells here, 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 and here. We installed pitchometers tubes in each of the blocks. As you can see on the numbers, that is the height curve. So it is quite flat. We measured through. We also did some soil survey from the start, where we did dual-M measurements of the field to actually see whether these single blocks were different in relation to soil texture. We measured clay content and organic matter content in all these areas where we had the pitchometer tubes, and saw that there were a little gradient, but only a few percented in clay. This is seen from down here, up on the field here. We installed these types of regulation valve here, and over here we had measurements where we took out water samples and measured the water flow. The water samples were analyzed for both the nitrogen and phosphorus, and we also looked into sediments in the drain pipes, because we were a little bit afraid that when we raised the soil water as the groundwater level, you could have more sediments infiltration in the pipes. That's how it looks. These are placed, these 4 places, and we had 2 here where we did the controlled drainage, and these 2 are used as control plots. We made a BACTI test, so we had a treatment plan the first year where all blocks had no controlled drainage and the same way of management. The second and the third year, we had 2 controlled drainage field blocks and 2 control blocks. Same field management. We measured the N2O fluxes during autumn and winter and early spring by campaign measurements. So we had champers out there taking that every 2 weeks. And we took the gas, air sample into the lab and analyzed for N2O. We measured nitrate, ammonia, and total N and P concentration in drained water, and also made isotope analysis of N15 and oxygen 18 in the drained water for a number of times. That was a very expensive one, so we did it only a few times. We also looked at the mineral nitrogen in within the field in autumn and spring by taking out soil samples for four different depths. We made detailed measurements on crop biomass and end uptake in fertilized and unfertilized microplots, and we obtained the yield in these microplots but also in the big blocks by a yield meter on the combined harvester. This is some of the results we have. Here I'll just explain what we are seeing here. This is over time, over the 3 years where we had, we obtained a measurement of the water, upper water level in the pitometer tubes. And of course, within 1 hectare there is also a variation. So we have one up here that is the upper level of the groundwater measured within that, and here we have the lower level. Our drain pipes is placed in around 1 meter depth, and at the time of the second year we had a block, or we tried to raise the salt water height or the drain height to minus 50 centimeter. That means that we are going a half a meter up from the drains. We could see some effect, but it was not clear that all the water went up to this half a meter. Second year we thought, okay, now let's make it a little bit higher. So we went up to minus 30 centimeter, and of course we could see that it affected the soil, the height of the soil water, but it was not that much. This is the control, and if we compare the periods where we had the control drains, we can see that the control had in general no peaks or no change in soil water content. So there must, our control drainage introduced a higher groundwater level, which we also expected. This is the nitrate concentration measurements over the time. Here in the start we had no control drainage. All drainage was normal drainage, and we could see that the yellow ones, these are the control drainage plots, and the blue ones are the control plots. They followed somehow each other. But when we came over here, we could see that the control plots had higher concentration level. But again, it is not obvious that this happened, but it happened there. And the third year, we actually didn't see a very big difference. If we looked on the leaching, we have the four plots here where they had the same treatment. The amount of water passing the drain depths is giving a sediment sediment transport is much lower than what is ending in the pipes. The first year and the second year we could see that this changed because we had more water coming into the drain pipes, outside the drain pipes, but difference from these to these were not that big. The third year where we had the minus 30 centimeters, we had a bigger effect, so more water was passing the long way through the deeper sediments. So this is shown here where we can clearly see that these two are really affected by the control drainage. Our leaching totally from our drains was reduced by 6 to 9 kilos as taking the average over the 2 years. The effect was primarily due to that more water was entering through the drains and less water was entering through the drains and more was passing on to the other side. We made this isotope analyzer, as I showed you, and we actually obtained these isotopes and saw and made regressions on each of them, and found actually only one place where we could really see that we had a much higher denitrification activity. You can see that we had more O18, the isotope 18, oxygen, and N15, and they were lying out here. So that was the only place where we actually captured and could document that here the denitrification were really increased. So, and when we compared these findings with the gas emission measurements, we did not see the same increase in N2O emissions from the CD or from the control drains blocks. We measured also yields. We had these micro plots where we had in general fertilized with 220 kilos, but these ones were fertilized with 0 kilos. And you can see them after some months that they are really thirsty for nitrogen there. The yields, we couldn't see any real difference between the years. We could see a difference in level of yield, but we had nearly 10 ton for all the plots. The no fertilized is much lower, but still it is quite high compared to not fertilizing your field. We did not see a decrease in yield due to controlled drainage, because that could be an effect during the winter where it could be some water locking or other problems. The outcome of our study is that the controlled drainage can successfully be combined with winter wheat cereal production in this year or in these years. Annual average drain leaching reduced 6 to 8 kilos. CD or control did not cause any pollution swapping, increased phosphate losses or higher nitrate oxide emissions. And here I must say these were for the three sites. The fourth site where we had very much sandy soil in the North Jutland, we actually saw a swapping in phosphorus, but it was still not that high. The stable isotope analyzers on this nitrate from drain water showed no markedly higher denitrification activity. Drainage was reduced, which is the main reason why the nitrogen leaching through the drain was reduced. Increasing of the regulation depth to -30 actually decreased the drainage, and more water were flowing the long way through to the stream. Unfortunately, the results of these four sites were not sufficient for documentation of that CD as a proven and new measure to reduce nitrate leaching from drain fields in Denmark. And thank you very much for your attention. And of course, I also have to thank the farmers, I forgot that, and the support from the Ministry of Environment and Agriculture in Denmark, and thank you for listening.